I feel it a peculiar joy and privilege to be with you once again, and I always count it a great privilege to minister the Word of God. And I'd like you to turn to the psalm that we have just sung, Psalm 139. And I want this morning to consider the first 12 verses of this psalm. In this psalm, David focuses his thoughts upon the God he speaks to. Before he asks anything from God, he praises and tells him what a wonderful God he is. David is amazed that he has a personal relationship with God. He's amazed that this God, who knows him perfectly, can love him and be his closest friend. This is David's first thought as he begins to worship God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And we see as David is alone in the presence of God, his first thought is that the person he speaks to is the God that knows everything. God knows everything about everything. But the truth that amazes him is God's knowledge of himself. And this morning, we're going to center upon two truths about God. The first is this: whether you believe it or not, there is a God who has searched you and knows you perfectly. Whether you believe it or not, there is a God who has searched you and knows you perfectly. You are now in the presence of this God. You cannot see this God now, but one day you will. And one day this God will prove to you he knows everything about you. Now, when David spoke these words, he knew these words were true. I don't know what you're thinking, but maybe there's some people here this morning, and maybe you don't believe that these words are true. But if you are a believer, you will find that as you think upon these words and the Holy Spirit comes to you through them, your heart will be moved. You will feel that the God you're thinking about has come into this building, that he is with us. that God is near. And it's wonderful to be in His presence. This is the way that God has chosen to meet with His people. He meets us in His Word by His Spirit. He has promised, draw nigh, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. But how do we do this? We do this as we seek to think about Him as He really is. We think about Him as He shows us Himself to us in His Word. The very simplest example is this. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, how do we address God? He is our Heavenly Father. That is one of the things that God has revealed concerning Himself for all His people. And I want you to just think for a moment about what that means. And before we go and look any further into this psalm, pray in your hearts for God's help to shut out of your mind all the things that has filled your mind during this week. And pray that God will fill your mind with the truth of His Word. And in particular, let's pray that He'll do this with the words of this psalm. So let's follow David's example. Think after David what he has expressed about what he knows concerning God. And the first thing is this: His God, the God in whose presence we are this morning, knows everything. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There's nothing that David can hide from God. God has searched him through and through. God knows David perfectly. God could give David an account of all that he's ever done in his life. He knows every detail of every day in David's life. From the moment that David gets up in the morning till the moment he goes to bed at night, God knows everything that he thinks and he says and he does. God could tell David the exact second he awoke from his sleep. And God could tell David the exact second he dropped off to sleep. God could tell David much more than that. God knows David's every thought. He even knows David's thoughts before David thinks them. Sometimes David, like all of us, are confused in how we think. Sometimes David doesn't even understand his own thoughts. But God perfectly understands them. God knows exactly where David is going. He knows David's plans and what he wants to do every day of his life. He even knows what goes on in David's mind while he sleeps. The Lord could tell David every dream he ever had. When David speaks, even before he says a word, God knows everything David will say. And the wonderful thing is, David is glad. This is not something that David's uncomfortable about. David rejoices in that truth. This knowledge of God is something he is pleased about. This is just what David wants and what he needs. He wants a God like that. He needs a God like that to keep him from all evil. He needs a God who knows everything. A God that he is perfectly safe to trust. And what amazes David is that this God knows him perfectly, is his friend as well as his God and his judge. And that's true of every believer here this morning. This great God in whose presence we meet, this God who brought the universe into being just with a word of his power, he is not only our God and our judge, he is our friend. And this is the glory that David is talking about. David knows that God has a similar knowledge of every person who's ever lived or ever will live. But David knows also that his relationship to God is a special one. God is his friend. And God is going to use his knowledge of David for David's good. David knows how easily he can think and do wrong things. And David knows painfully what awful things he has done in the past. But his great comfort is, God knows all these things better than he knows them himself. And David can see how God has planned his life and protected him from his own foolishness and sin. David knows that nothing he thinks or says or does can ever take God by surprise. Now that doesn't mean that he didn't care about those things and those times when he thought or said or did wrong things. David certainly never blamed God for any of these things. David knew that when he sinned, he was to blame. David wasn't a fatalist. David never sinned and said, "It doesn't matter. I couldn't help myself." Even less did he ever say, "God made me sin." You remember when David sinned so wickedly against Bathsheba. and her husband. For months, this man after God's own heart was far away from God. But you remember after this, God sent Nathan to tell David. He knew everything he'd done. And immediately, David admitted, "I have sinned against the Lord." And later he prayed, as we have it recorded for us in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest." You see, David takes all the blame, and yet it's a comfort to him, because he knows that God knows all about it. He knows that the situation is not out of control. God could have prevented it. And if you think about David's life, you can think of great sins that God actually prevented him from doing. But he didn't prevent him from doing this one. For wise and holy reasons. But David could think back to other occasions in his life when God did prevent him. And so he says, "You have beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." David understood that God not only knew him perfectly, he used that knowledge for David's good. He used his knowledge to protect David from his own foolishness and sin. And praise God, what was true for David is true of every believer here this morning. Indeed, it's true in another sense of everybody here. God knows every one of us here this morning perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. There's nothing in our life that we can hide from him. And you and I can hide so much of our lives from other people. I can look you in the eye and I've got no idea what you're thinking. You may be thinking the most terrible things. But God knows. He knows it all. And one day, God will reveal this perfect knowledge of you and me. And so the great question is, the pressing question is, what is your relationship to this God? God is the judge of all men. He's my judge. And he's your judge. Now that's certain. But if God is only your judge, then there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you because the judge knows everything. In a human court, you can go and you may be able to hide many, many things from the judge. But in the divine court, everything's going to come out. He knows everything. The only hope for any one of us is to know God as the God who forgives sinners. And this is the good news. God does forgive sinners. It's the amazing news. God does forgive sinners. That's why David was so amazed that even though God knew all the evil that he had said, thought, and done, he was still God's friend. And this is the good news. You can know God, a God who's willing to be your friend and protector, just like he was David's friend and protector. A God who knows all your sins and has never forgiven them is a fearful God to meet at the judgment day. Yet, that is the God we're all going to meet one day. Unless you experience what David experienced. Well, what did he experience? He experienced the forgiveness of God. That is the glory of the gospel in a nutshell. God takes our sins and he removes them. And he forgives us. And he gives us a clean slate. He came to God, confessed his sin, and God forgave him. God removed it. Nathan, who came as a prophet from God and said to David, "You are the man," also said in the name of God, "The Lord has put away thy sin. You shall not die." I didn't mean he wouldn't die physically. He meant he wouldn't die eternally. He wouldn't die that second death. He wouldn't be sent into hell forever. Now that brings us to the second thing that David knows about God. And this will be as far as we go this morning. God not only knows everything about David, but God is everywhere. Now there's no way David or anybody else can escape from this God in whose presence we are this morning. Take that to heart. You cannot escape from God's presence. You may escape out of this building, but wherever you go, you're in God's presence. Now, the wonder of what David is saying is this. David has no desire to escape from God's presence. And he praises God that escape is completely impossible. He gives this praise in the form of a question. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither flee from thy presence?" And here David is speaking to God with a sense of wonder and all. He says, "If I want to escape from you, where can I go?" And it's obvious, David has no wish to escape from God's Spirit. He has no desire to flee from God's presence. He's not really asking God this question. His next few words make it clear. He knows this is impossible. He's simply asking these questions so that he can give the answers he loves so much. If you like, it's a bit like ourselves when we say in prayer to God, "Is anything too hard for God? Now, we're not really asking a question. When we ask this question, we already know the answer. God's word has told us. We simply ask the question so we can praise God with the answer that we love so much. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. That's the God in whose presence we are this morning. And when we sing or we pray things about how wonderful God is, we're not telling God anything he doesn't know. We simply repeat what he has taught us about himself, because we love that truth. We love what God has revealed of himself to us. Now that's what David is doing with these questions and answers. He's telling God what he knows about him and loves about him. He's saying words that every child of God can rejoice to say. I just want to ask you to think with me about these words just for a few moments. Just think as I read them to you. Here's the questions and answers. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely, the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Summing it all up, God is everywhere. There is no place that you or I can escape from God. He's in heaven. He's in hell. Even if you could travel at the speed of light, you couldn't escape him. David knows wherever he may go, God will be with him. He cannot escape God's presence. But he knows more than that. He knows that anywhere he goes, God will be actively with him. He says, thy hand shall lead me. What a wonderful thing as we go through life. Thy hand, the hand of Almighty God, shall lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. You see, it isn't just that God is everywhere watching us. That's true. But God cares for us, looks after us. We cannot escape his presence or his control. And this has been an unspeakable comfort to me recently, as we've been aware, as we never knew before, that we have real enemies. Enemies scheming against us, and we don't know what they're scheming. David tells us these people can't escape God. When some people plan to do evil things, they often try to do these evil things under the cover of darkness. David says, you can't do that. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And the light, the darkness and the light are both alike to God. Darkness makes no difference to God's sight. God will see you just as clearly as in the hidden place, in the dark places, as he'd see you in the midday sun. Now, sad to say, this is a tragedy. There's a whole world of people around us, a world full of people who are trying to flee from God's presence. Just like Adam and Eve, they want to hide from God. That's the heart of atheism. They don't want God to exist. They think if they pretend he doesn't exist, they're hidden from him. And it's so sad that millions of people spend their whole life trying to do the impossible, trying to hide or flee from God. I see some children among us. When our children were young, obviously at family worship, we taught them about God. We did this through simple question and answers. And this is one of the questions we used to ask our children. Can you see God? And I'm sure you know the answer. No, I cannot see God, but God always sees me. Now, this is the problem with so many people. They think because they cannot see God, he's not present. But he is present. I know God's present this morning. The God I'm talking about, he's present. But I can't see him. But that doesn't make him any less real. God is here now, and he's going to be with you wherever you go. And my friend, if you're an unforgiven sinner, that is not good news. That is bad news. You want to escape God, but you can't. None of us can. God's word tells us we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the good news comes in at that point to remind us, if our sins are forgiven, there is no need to be afraid of that day. If your sins are forgiven, you can rejoice that God is always with you. Whatever you think or feel, you are always in God's presence. This morning, each one of us here, we're in the presence of God, whether we feel it or not. And thank God, our religion is not a thing of just thoughts. There's feelings in our religion. And there's times when we feel we're in the presence of God. But whether we feel it or not, we are in the presence of God. And David rejoices in something yet more wonderful than that. He rejoices that believers can live their lives in a very different way, simply because God knows everything and God is everywhere. Now, how sad that millions of people don't believe in a God like that. Do you believe in a God like that? Well, if you do, it's going to make a difference in the way you live your life. It'll make a difference. Now, let me show some of the ways these two truths should affect your lives. First of all, God knows everything. And if you believe God knows you perfectly, that should bring you great joy and comfort. You have the same comfort as David. God is your friend. He knows and he understands everything about you, even if you're misunderstood by others, even if no one else really understands you. He does. And this God is in control of your life, just as he was with David's life. Sometimes you will do things you deeply regret doing. And you may even fear that you've ruined everything. And in such times, it's your privilege to go to God and tell him what he already knows. It's your privilege to ask him to forgive and to cleanse away your sin. What a wonderful thing. Every day we don't need to go about burdened with a guilty conscience. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. That's our privilege as believers. We confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us from all sin. But that's not all. You can trust him to use your failure to bring you good. Our God is a God who works all things together for good. And I know it may sound terrible to say this, but God works for good even through our sins. What a comfort that is. That's not an excuse to sin. It's not to give you comfort if you sin. But it's wonderful to know that when we've sinned, we haven't blown it finally. There's a God who not only can forgive us, but can make us profit from our failings. And so, take time. I wonder if you've ever done this. Take time to think about God's knowledge of you. God knows things about you that you don't realize. He knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses. He knows the victories over sin that you've experienced. He knows your defeats. And he knows how to protect you. He knows how to protect you from enemies who may wish to harm you. God's knowledge of you and everything else should fill you with continual praise. That's what it did for David. This is how he sums it all up. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Take time to think about God's knowledge. Not just of you, but of everything. All that has ever happened. All that will ever happen. And even all things that could happen. Have you ever thought about how God knows what could happen if he allowed it to happen? The Word of God has many illustrations of this. One of the most wonderful of all is these words of Jesus when he condemns the people of Bethsaida. He says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida." And then he makes this amazing statement. "If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon," and they weren't, "but if they had, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." God knows the things that could happen if he allowed them to happen. Secondly, God is everywhere. And that obviously should have a tremendous effect upon the way you live your life. Three things. It should make you careful how you behave. I don't know if it's still true today, but generally, it was certainly true when I was a child. Children behave better when their parents were around, when they knew someone was watching them. That's what we've got to remember. There is someone watching us all the time. When we're alone, when no one else can see us, when we're just thinking thoughts, He is there. We're in God's presence. All that you say and do and think, you do in God's presence. But God is not just watching. He is your helper God, like He was to David. He leads and supports you by His mighty hand. Do you know why none of us here this morning who are Christians have wandered forever away from God? There's only one reason. God is keeping you. If we were left to ourselves, we would have wandered away long ago. But God is keeping us. This secondly gives courage in time of trouble and difficulty. Whatever your situation, and again, this is something we have learned in a new way in these past months. Whatever your situation, you're not alone. Isn't that the glory of the Great Commission? Go into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. And sometimes we do feel lonely. We do feel that we're just so few Christians. And there's so many enemies around us. But God is with us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you think of believers in certain parts of the world. They must feel at times totally deserted. And in such dangerous situations. Yet God is with them. Not just watching, but able to help and protect them. And thirdly, and this is the point I really want to leave with you this morning, this should make us wish to enjoy God's presence. Now I've said, we're always in God's presence. But the real question is, do we enjoy being in God's presence? What difference does it make being in God's presence? Now, we said God is present everywhere. But how few people are really aware of this and enjoy this. But God's word tells us there are two places where God has promised to be in a special way. You remember these familiar words of Jesus. Where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst with them. The gathering of God's people. Why did you come here this morning? I didn't just come here to preach. I hope you didn't just come here to see your friends. The real reason we've come is we've come to meet in the presence of God. We've come to meet with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this invisible Savior that we love. He's present with us. That's what we come to do, to meet with God in Jesus Christ. And the second place is this: for thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. There are times of prayer when we humbly seek God and He draws near. And we know that He's drawn near. And we need these times. Now, finally, let me remind you of David's question. Let me address this question to you. Where can I flee from thy presence? Where can you flee from God's presence? As I've already said, this is what millions of people are trying to do. They don't want God, and they think they can live without God. And my friend, that is the real heart of sin. We think of sin as terrible things that are done. And that's part of sin. But the real heart of sin is simply trying to live your life without God. We were never meant to live like that. We're meant to live with God, enjoying God. Yes, you can ignore God. You can live as if there's no God. But you can't escape Him. You can't escape Him. If I go up to heavens, Thou art there. If I make my bed in the depths, Thou art there. Now we may think we can escape God. We can force Him out of our minds and live as if He doesn't exist. But we can't escape from Him. And my friend, I'm speaking to as one who will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And you're going to have to give an account for this morning. Because you're in the presence of God. God knows what you're hearing. And God knows how you're responding. We can't escape from Him. At the judgment, you will see this invisible God. And for all eternity, this God will be with you in one of two places. In heaven or hell. That's the issue. For all in heaven, He will be a loving Heavenly Father. And thank God for everyone here on the way to heaven. Wonderful. Living in the Father's house forever. But in hell, He will be an angry judge, a consuming fire. And I plead with you in the name of this God who's present with us now. Stop trying to escape. Submit to Him. Cry to Him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He already knows that. He knows you're a sinner. But you've got to tell Him. Tell Him. And plead with Him to forgive you. Not for any good that you can do, but on the grounds of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen.